There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad of two entities. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying and true. And if you wanna step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Oh yeah! Welcome to From the Helicarrier Classic, where we talk about MAA, Marvel Avengers Alliance, number one. We're your number one companion in a podcast of that game. I had Rock Out of Podcasting, Charles McFall, and here's just plain old Brian Ibbett.
The cheese Danish of podcasting, Brian Ibbett.
Well, you do bring the cheese. That's for
sure. I do bring the cheese. All right, so let's talk about MAA. Here's the headlines of what's going to be on the show today. Number one, Spec Ops arrives. Oh! And it brought with it a Mantis. We'll talk about that. Moondragon is also going to be coming. We'll talk about how you're going to be able to get her. And the game is going to go down a little bit for a little while, Thursday night, or depending on where you are in the world. It'll be Thursday night, Friday morning, and we'll talk about that as well. But before we get to that, Charles, what can people buy on sale right now with gold?
They can go to patreon.com/fromthehelicarrier. No, seriously, guys, we could really, really use your help. I know a lot of people have been dropping out of the game, and I get that. I get that. If you're not going to play, we understand you won't listen to the podcast, you won't support. But if you do listen, we could really use your help growing the audience, growing the reach, because there are new players playing, and we'd love it. But other than that, you can get the Metaphysical Amplifier. It is your 64 gold weapon, Psychic Force set, 4 of 4, 3-round cooldown. It doesn't start cooldown, it doesn't look like, but it does have a 3-round cooldown. It's a ranged buff. Psychic Prowess, with any other piece of the Psychic Force set equipped, this action becomes a quick action. And then with the entire Psychic Force set, you notice that word entire? Mm-hmm. That's something new this time with a set.
Yeah, like, instead of just with one piece, one more piece of the set, then blah, blah, blah. Now it's with the entire set taking up 4 spaces in your inventory and in your loadout.
With 2, you get a prize. With 4, right, you get another prize. I like that. Kind of. I haven't done it yet, but I think I like it. Psychic Force set equipped. Apply Mentally Aware to your entire team. As a weapon itself, it does Psychic Shield to all allies. Shield effect absorbs incoming damage and immune to harmful psychic effects. And potential unleash, raise all stats for 1 round, removes debuffs when applied. That's for yourself as well. So there's that. Of course, you can research it. I'm glad. Thank you, Platinum, for bringing research back. I did miss that. So you can definitely do that.
Yeah, and they even inadvertently gave you a way for a while, and it might even still be possible to do a little shard farming too, right? Because you can actually trigger the deploy in mission 1 with Gamora without doing any fights. So it still costs you 10 UISO, but you can actually just keep, abort mission, start mission, send Gamora on a deploy. She's instantly ready for pickup, pick her up, maybe get something, blah, blah, blah. And it goes around really, really quick. And so using that method, I was able to, get a healthy dose of materials, research materials for the thing. I don't know if it still works. I assume it would.
Yeah.
Right? I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
because the whole thing is you're forced to use Guardians in the first mission,
right,
which I liked. It's they're strong, they're fun to play with, they have a great synergy together that the campers didn't quite have. Mm-hmm. So it made sense to the story. I liked it. But yes, since you're forced to use them, your deploys with them are an instant deploy. Like, as soon as you let her go, you bring it back. The fact that they put it right out of the gate just screams, hey, come farm, please.
Exactly. We're going to make up for the fact that you couldn't farm in the last Spec Ops, so we'll give it to you here. Yeah, I like it. I'm super, super happy with that. And Again, great way to rank up some shards, some research materials to farm the other pieces, or to build the other pieces, I should say.
I think something else worth mentioning along those lines was as soon as it launched, right? You usually start with 400 or 500 UISO, right?
Oh, right.
And then there was a big bump. And I didn't notice the bump. I just noticed the people talking about it. And I keep forgetting to look at my numbers that I've collected since then. So I don't know what the bump was. And watching the chat to see if they can tell me how much it was. But Playdom came out and said officially, hey, you may have noticed a big bump in your USO. And we're just going to leave it. Congratulations. Have more fun. I'm like,
enjoy.
That's awesome.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy that. Right. Yeah. I would love that. Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no complaints about any of this. Actually, it's been a really good spec ops, and I think it's been a while since we've had a really good spec op. Especially, here's the thing. I mean, this is even one that does that same thing that we complained about with the Runaway spec ops and with the campers, especially the campers spec ops. Was this forced? You've only got this handful of characters to choose during the first mission, and I don't know if it's just I have more of a connection, I feel to the Guardians of the Galaxy, but I enjoy using them so much more in Mission 1 than I did in that campers thing and having to choose Cammy and Chase and you know, all those other characters.
I I'm with you. I don't know if they've tweaked some system in the background to make it work a little better, to have it flow a little better, or maybe it's just I like the Runaways comic. I haven't really attached myself to them as a group of people. Victor is fun to play with. Molly's fun to play with. Sure. I mean, I had people to play with. I'm with you. Guardians are like, woohoo! All right, I'm going to use Guardians.
Right. Rocket and Star-Lord to win, you know?
I was doing Gamora and with the knives. Drax. Just because apparently I've not leveled them to 15. Like, oh, crap, let me do that while I'm playing with them anyway.
Right. Yeah. Great opportunity to do that for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, really, really enjoying this Spec Ops a lot more than the last couple. And kudos to Playdom for kind of fixing whatever went wrong with the last ones. This is kind of feels like the right way to do the forced group that you choose from, as well as the crafting, in which we didn't have in the last Spec Ops. So.
Yep.
Kudos, Playdom. It's a fun spec ops. Haven't really checked out the psychic set. Have you? Like, how is the psychic set?
Set itself, I don't know. I've done the research item and I've played with that Staff of Misery, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, mental anguish.
It's not just mental anguish. It's mental. There's something else too that increases the damage, and you take more and more damage over time, or something.
Oh, right.
Not mental scarring, because that protects you from mental anguish. I'd have to look at the weapon.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, and I've not won or researched any of the new weapons yet, but I've heard people who have are saying they're overpowered and they're really good.
Oh, no. Okay.
But they're saying that in a good way. Like, oh, man, this is really OP, man.
That means we're going to see it. Right. We're going to see it in Spec Ops, in the next PvP, and then it's going to hose us all.
Well, obviously, you're not going to take Emma Frost out in the next PvP, because everybody's going to be anti-mind control and everything else, because that's what these weapons do.
It's going to be, mental shielding. You're going to want to have what was the psychic helmet? It was like a Spec Ops item a while back, maybe 6 months ago, and it was a helmet that prevented psychic attacks.
That sounds familiar, but yeah, I don't remember either.
I'll pull it up while we're talking here.
And okay, so Staff of Misery, which is not one of this set, it's just your research weapon. It's Mental Anguish, which takes heavy damage after performing an offensive action and can be removed with recharge for one round. Then there's Cerebral Agony for two rounds, taking psychic damage over time. Damage increases after performing an offensive action. So it's like, wow, that's brutal, man. And I'm researching the I don't even want to say what this weapon looks like, but I'm researching this other weapon right now. The Psyche Persuader is what I'm researching. So.
Great. Yeah, I'm still looking to see the...
While you look that up, you know what? We have our own research that we do. It's called You Put Money on the Web, and they send you a box each month. That's how we do our farming and research and in real life.
And by research, you're saying, you know, you get to research a Back to the Future item or a Marvel Comics item.
Yes.
It's amazing. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
We're obviously talking about Loot Crate. You get collectibles, apparel, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises delivered right to your door every single month. We're talking a new T-shirt, figures, comics, stuff for your kitchen, which... We'll talk about that in a second. But, Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, Fallout 4, Star Wars, all this great stuff for less than $20 a month. You can go to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. That's lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. And I'm actually going to give you a new code. You can enter code giant-size-team-up for $3, or we've got you a new one. Enter code is 10. It stands for 10. It's the number 10. So enter code 10 and save 10% off of any new subscription. You can do that as well, according to what they sent me today. So that is also, I know I'm jealous of your box each month. And I saw Mike Woodard, a producer at large for Giant Size Team Up Network. He was cooking with his Thanos oven mitt the other day. And I was like, that's so awesome.
I should warn him not to, because there was a recall notice on that it doesn't block heat as well.
It won't actually.
And they're like, they're actually working on a replacement. I got a notification that they're doing something about that. So you know, Mike, if you're okay with it, if they're taking the risk, be my guest. But
well, I think he was doing it for a picture, hopefully. Gotcha. I'm sure this is right before the recall. But definitely be careful, Mike. But it looks so good.
Mm-hmm. So. It is really cool. I saw one at Comic-Con this weekend, actually. Somebody had one for sale on their at their booth. You know, probably a lot of these people, the comic stores and stuff, get a couple loot crates so that they can sell the items. I don't know the ethics of that, but when you look up there and you see an oven mitt that looks like the Infinity Gauntlet, you know there's only one place they could have gotten it. And that's Loot Crate. And sign up today.
There you go.
Use that code. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything. I can't remember what that helmet was. It wasn't the Psychic Amplifier, but it was something. It was a helmet in the last 6 months that prevented psychic attacks. It might even prevent it for the whole team. So.
Oh, that would be anyway. Boss right there.
Yeah.
No.
All right, so.
We're all brainless. You can't hurt us.
So Mantis is, of course, the reward for the Spec Ops. Really quickly, talking about her, she's a scrapper. She's got cosmic calculations as a passive, so a counterattack with disadvantage is possible. She pre-counters enemies that have impaired, neutralized, off-balance, winded, exhausted, or intimidated. She has premonition, so she can apply rising up to allies before they attack. And she has psychic warding, so less damage from psychic attacks and effects, and removes one negative psychic effect per round.
She's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool. Her attacks are, her action one is a single enemy melee unarmed attack that basically exploits combos and also does that disadvantage thing where it creates a negative effect. If you're an infiltrator, it creates a negative infiltrator effect. Second one is telekinetic shielding. There's an ally buff that gives them a free turn, as well as a psychokinetic shield. Level six action is psychic transferal. Again, it's a single ally buff that gives them extra turn, raises their stats for one round, removes debuffs, and gives them ignores most avoidance, shield, counter, and protect effects. And the last one is Pumice Strike, level nine, one enemy melee unarmed attack. Gives you rattled for two rounds, taking extra damage from counter and follow-up attacks, and combo setup. The next unarmed attack against this target deals extra damage. So she's cool. The covert ops that's going to be coming up is going to give us Moondragon, and that is going to be done using shards. It's going to be collect, 100 shards and do these various tasks. Why do I have gum in my mouth? Professional podcaster, and I just realized I'm chewing gum while I'm doing a show.
That's funny.
I can't believe we were nominated for an award with that business. Funny. anyway, so Moondragon's coming, being a covert ops, and we're looking forward to that one. Don't know when that one's coming out, but hopefully soon, and gives us a chance to increase our ranks yet again.
Yeah, I always love the new characters to get them. I don't always love having them because I'm like, oh, this didn't work. But I've teamed up with Mantis, and I've teamed up with her twice. The first time I was through the standard play, you team up with her against Moondragon. And I went, because of how I did the missions, I'd already done the mini-boss. So it was just me, Mantis, and I don't know, whoever I took in with Mantis against Moondragon and the two lackeys. She did really well. She did really well. I didn't have to heal her. She survived. She was strong. She didn't like do any epic smashes, but that's not her character anyway.
Right.
But I was like, wow, okay, cool. I didn't have to heal you. I didn't have to go, oh my God, just let you die, because that happens on team ups a lot. It's like, no, she did well. And then the second time I went through, I took her against the mini boss and Moondragon at the same time. And at that point, I kind of had to heal everybody. It got a little tougher. So right now, with my limited play with her, I've enjoyed it. I think she's going to be a fun and viable character.
Oh, totally. And I forgot to mention, it's funny, in the patch notes that Playdom posted, they don't talk about the action 2, the level 2 action, telekinetic shielding, as a multi.
Oh, yeah, it's a multi-action.
Multi-action.
Multi-pass.
Multi-pass. So there's a bunch of stuff that's part of that that second attack that
there's
you can use.
Healing. And two or three of the things are quick actions.
Yes.
Which, you just stack that stuff.
One of them is an all ally quick action, restore some health. Then you've got an extra turn, potential unleashed with one of them for a single ally, another single ally with a shield, and then an enemy attack that does a psychic energy attack. But yeah. I think all four of these are quick actions. Nope,
one's not.
Psychic transferal is not.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. And it says, well, it's removed if you do any non-psychic attack, but most of her attacks are psychic in some kind, some way. Mm-hmm. So right. Yeah, right. It was, she has great synergy with herself, if that makes sense to everybody listening. She works really well as a solo character. I'm very curious. I can't wait till everybody gets their hands on her. I want to see who Kingfisher teams are up with. I want to see who Pokey Prof, how he sets her up. And then I want to see Anna Doe and the breakdown, the loadout of the crystals. So,
yeah, I think I'm going to predict Star-Lord because... Yeah. Well done. I mean, her counterattacks, her pre-counters, those can trigger Star-Lord's passive, right?
Oh, everything can trigger his passive. Yeah. Every attack, every action.
Right. So, and they've got synergy together as far as like the setup.
Because she's
a
guardian.
I'm going to predict. Yep, exactly. Yep. Yeah, so team up bonuses, of course.
Right.
So I'm predicting Star-Lord. That's actually who I've been using her with in the spec ops, and I just threw part of my pen. Great, chewing gum, throwing my pen around.
All right, well, the next thing you're going to do is turn and talk to your wife and let the dog take over the microphone, because that'll be the major four things bad podcast do.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. No belching on camera or on microphone.
So
anyway,
cool.
So there's your Mantis.
And, yeah, and people are getting her pretty fast. Apparently, it's pretty easy to get these researches done and get it down. I know I'm a little behind. My normal schedule is I do in the first day, and I did this. I do the five tasks and the research at night, and then by the time I get up in the morning, the research is done, and I do another five tasks. And the next research is a 12-hour one. So by the next time I'm ready to play, either late night or the next morning, depending on when I got to it. It's done, and then do five, and then it's a longer research. But I actually missed a day or two of playing. But I was a little surprised to see how many people have gotten Mantis already. I was like, wow, that's faster than – and these are not speed players, right? These are not
there's
guys who just blow through the content anyway.
Right. There are people who are super excited for Spec Ops and want this this stuff right away. You remember when? Yeah. Remember a second ago when you said, "I'm going to turn and talk to my wife." My son actually just came down.
What's up, Dave? Well, I will talk while you do that. You know, I'm not trying to rush through it. I've actually read the entire story as it goes through. The writing is getting a lot better this year with the Spec Ops and stepping up their game. They're really doing a lot better with the story, and I'm making sure read each block the first time I go through and seeing Star-Lord's reactions. And it was kind of funny that Deadpool moment, because you're the agent, right? And they're talking about, let's keep all this just to ourselves. And then Rocket, the drawing of Rocket is looking at you, go, well, the agent already knows. Like, whoa, that was weird.
Right.
Don't make eye contact with the raccoon. Right there.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's very cool. We don't know much about Moondragon right now. Obviously, we know what she's like to fight against, but we don't know what her hero version is going to be.
That's the black vortex Moondragon too. So
right, exactly. So your mileage may differ, but we did also get some changes to psychic and radiation resistances. Psychic suppression resist psychic, which is psychic warding. And resist radiation, which is also now radiation warding. So you can read about that in the Playdom patch notes if you so desire. One last thing in the headlines here. Maintenance. There's maintenance coming, people.
Maintenance.
Hope you're ready to get maintained. The game will be offline for a little bit of time here. Starting on Thursday night, depending on when you get this, but starting on Thursday night, 10:30 Eastern time going until 3 a.m. Eastern time, adjust that to match your own stuff, match your own time zone. So there you go.
Yep.
Don't try playing during those times. And better yet, don't email play them and say, I can't get in the game. Help me. What's going on? It's broke.
And there's always somebody that does. You know.
Sure.
Of course. I personally had, it wasn't to play them. It wasn't for a game. It was for some other internet-based posting. But I typically read the rules. I'm very respectful of forums and stuff. And I just posted something. Kittens. I was giving away free kittens. And I posted it in their group and then went back and read the rules. It says, no animals. So I made a new post, because the only way to contact it was make a new post. I made a new post labeled sorry. And so I went back, read the rules. I apologize. It won't happen again. I'm the dumbass.
I saw that kitten post, and if we lived closer, we would absolutely be grabbing one of those kittens because they were adorable.
They are. Their mom is pretty cool. But yeah, it is. Okay, you guys will like this very quickly here. So we were having a hard time writing posts. How do you write a post? Here's free kids. I mean, that's all there should be, right? It's a picture of kids, free kids. Right. And nobody's responding. So I got on Craigslist. And if you go look up the Atlanta Craigslist, look up free superhero kittens. Because I got this moment of genius and wrote, man, these awesome kittens are ready to come to your home. These kittens look so cute and cuddly, but even Deadpool could not keep up with their awesomeness. You better come and get them fast before some evil villain captures their mom and makes them try to kill Batman. And I just went on like that. And then all of a sudden, people are starting to come get kittens. So
that's hilarious. Yeah,
it was just fun.
Clever. Very clever.
All right. What else? Well, as long as they're gone, I don't care.
That's right. Yeah, no, I think that's it. We've covered the new Spec Ops, and we've covered the maintenance.
Okay.
I want to hear some audio.
I do too. Let's start with the king, because you know that's the one I like to screw up the most. So here we go. Let's see what happens.
From the helicarrier, it's Kingfisher 745, and this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, finally, new content has been released. Something to actually talk about. And although this backup goes really fast, I've kind of tried to milk it at least a bit. I know many people blew right through it in a few days. For me, I finished getting Manus today. Now, I was actually on the final task last night, but I just went ahead and waited. There was really no rush. But with this hero, we could see pretty early on she was going to be an awesome support character. And then the Spec Ops set we also could see was going to be absolutely terrifying. As for the set, I'm still in the process of building it, but I'm pretty hopeful that we're going to get it done. I'm really hopeful that we're going to get that done soon, and I will have a review of it, but I could tell you on day one, it's going to be worth picking up. So hopefully you're in the process of building it as well. Then when it comes to Manus, if you're debating, should you skip the final task? Say if you don't have the heroes for deploy, then of course you should. I would say that for just about anyone, but I do believe she's going to be very viable in PvP. Trying to give her a rating, she would definitely be of higher priority than a few other Spec Ops heroes may have been. Is she up there with Spitfire? I don't know. I mean, who is? But right. Her passives alone are pretty awesome. First of all, since she's going to pre-counter enemies with all those opportunist debuffs, that means she's going to go well with an exploit opportunity character, so we have that covered. Then her premonition can apply rising up to allies before they attack. Once again, that's going to help out those with finest hour, say even a cloak and dagger. But we're only scratching the surface of this character. Of course, she's a psychic phenomenon, with her mental anguish, psychic suppression, and then of course cerebral agony as well. I mean, with that psychic suppression, she's going to be great with, say, Emma Frost. But any psychic character is going to benefit. Now, besides her having disadvantage on her level 1 and all the things that have been added to the game involving that, there's also something else that many people may overlook, and that's exploits combos, going along with her combo setup on her Palma Strike. We've done combo setup teams before, and that'll typically include Black Widow, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and so on. But there's even the Pugilist AISO, and that causes an equipped unarmed attack to gain exploits combos. Now, exploits combos actually causes a 50% extra damage boost with combo setup. Yeah, it ends up being really beast. Basically, what I'm saying is she's a very versatile character. She's going to be great with so many different heroes that it's going to require a lot of different videos just to show all of her potential team-ups. Nice. However, despite all those amazing qualities, maybe her most important contribution is going to be psychic transferal. This is on her multi-function, and it grants an ally an extra turn. It also raises all stats for one round, plus removes debuffs when applied. Well, an immediate extra turn, with no starting cooldown. I can think of so many different interesting ways to use that. I'll just give you one very simple team-up. How about Molly Hayes? You want to get that temper tantrum going first round?
Geez.
Well, now you should be able to. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be a lot more devastating combos involving that. And I will make sure to bring them to you in video form. So with Manus starting to be leveled right now, I'm pretty confident we'll have her at level 9 or above well before next week. So the next All Hail the King episode will feature her. And since I told you about Molly Hayes, we'll throw her in that one. Along with, let's go with Emma Frost and Cloak and Dagger. These are all teams that I know should work pretty well. But we're only going to be scratching the surface of this new support hero. So make sure you tune into the channel, check out all the videos we're going to have on her. And then, hey, when Moondragon's released, we'll cover that too. And by the way, as far as MAA 2, did anyone else have any problems facing teams with 4-star heroes, even at low ranks? Because that has been a bit of a turnoff. It's not fun getting killed before you get a single turn.
No.
It definitely makes me not really want to play the PvP, or the game for that matter. I don't have a ton of money to invest into it, so I cannot deal with 4-star teams. My Black Widow may get to 4 stars in a week or two if I'm lucky, and that'll be my first one. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm not really bummed about it, I'm just indifferent. Anyways, I don't really have much to say about the game, I just wanted to ask. That is going to be it for today's segment, though. So I want to thank you all for listening and then send it back to the hosts.
So for everybody else who is curious about that, we'll be doing the Deuce right after this show today, and we'll be covering that there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that has been fixed, King, if you're listening.
Yeah. It's very cool recommendations. I don't think I would have thought of Molly Hayes right off the bat with Mantis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be... Man, nobody
good suggestion for Spitfire.
Yeah. As far as Spec Ops goes, nobody has been as a good reward as Spitfire.
Right. She's
yeah. Now you use her with Mantis, that could be interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's see. So that's went pretty well. Let me see what we have here. And we have, all right, so this one takes a little bit of setup. Pokey Prof, of course, was off last week, and he's back, and he's in good shape. He is fully healed and no superpowers, he said.
Oh, darn.
The superpowers. But he,
no radioactive spider bite.
No. But he got inspired by Enido doing Black Cat setup, so here he is with his Black Cat review.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood poker prof, without radioactive power, sadly. All I've got to show for this damn spider bite is a scab and my cheek still being a little bit swollen compared to the rest of my face. Damn arachnids. Anyway, as some of you might notice how this segment has gone so far right now, I've decided not to be so rigid and have a little bit more fun with things, if only because I think I sound a bit more like a robot otherwise. Getting back on track for who we're talking about this week, I've decided to do my job, as Annie Doe so delightfully pointed out, and talk to you about Felicia Hardy, also known as the Black Cat. Now before we go any further, let's all look at the facts. Black Cat isn't going to be the best of the best, nor is she going to be destroying everything in her path. She's an ancient hero with an ancient kit who's really been able to squeak by on usefulness thanks to EISOs and a few character-specific ones that she's been able to pick up. Hell, she's the only character in the Alliance who doesn't have a passive to her name unless you go and get her EISOs or her alternate outfit. She ties with The Thing, in my opinion, as the character most screaming for a rework of her kit. With all that said, what she can do very well. Which is to say, setting up bleeds on someone, and then hitting them so hard it makes Team Rocket's blast-offs look like a wrist slap. Not only does her alternate outfit allow her to stack up 3 bleeds in 1 attack, but her EISO also allows her to get free follow-up attacks on those foes who are already bloodied. After that, she buffs herself with Stroke of Luck, and then Nurb chops the enemy into oblivion.
Phrasing.
It's actually looking at Stroke of Luck that we see why this one-trick pony of a strategy, while extremely outdated, still works so well on Felicia. Stroke of Luck is perhaps the largest single buff in all of the Alliance, giving the Black Cat a 60% bonus to all of their stats, which isn't even counting any of the other effects she might be under. So combine this with the near 90% damage increase from exploiting bleeds and deadly crits on her nerf chop, yeah, she can still pack a real punch. Or chop in this case. There are other things Miss Hardy could do should she find foes that are resistant to her claws. Her unlucky strike not only drops down her enemy's accuracy and attack by 30%, which, now that I think about it, I think is actually one of the largest single debuffs around in the Alliance, but should you be able to grab the AISO for this attack, she can hex and fumble the enemy she kicks as well. This makes them near incapable of striking her or her allies, and if they do, they get smacked back from some damage and maybe even set up for the rest of their kits. Black Cat is a good hero, and while in the end she's still majorly a one-trick pony when it comes to her strategy, this one trick she can still make capable of striking down gods with little effort. Just make sure that if you're going to be using her, you're either going to be using her against someone who can bleed, or with someone who can shred armor for her so she can, you know, still work her strategy. Head back to the helicarrier, agent, and do your best to remember that Felicia's eyes are on her face, not her chest, all right?
Music for From the Helicarrier, provided
Mikey,
by... Oops.
You're so eager to get your job done, sir.
Whoops!
So, when he said 30%, I heard... Paul Klotz's brain explodes somewhere in the universe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's like, oof, that's a big number, Paul. I like that number. That is good, and that's how you use her right there.
Yeah. They're making me want to pull her back into the game, play her a little bit more. So, cool.
Yeah. She's so good. I don't know what character I could say, hey, go do this one for me, guys, because the characters I really, really, truly love, I pretty much have a good grasp on. But think about it. Here's one. Doom. Let's bring Dr. Doom back into the game. So how do we do the antidote with the setup and then Pokey Prof with the play style? You know, how do we make Doom viable now? I'd love to make him viable for PvP because it's just something I think about going, yeah, I got two guys. You got three and I still stomped you.
let Annie Doe and Pokey Prof pick their own subjects. But actually, I think that actually is a really good one.
So, wait a minute. You just told me to shut the hell up, and it was a great idea. Is that what just happened?
Yes, kind of. Yeah. kind of. Just like that.
All right.
You got a problem Fair with enough. That?
No. I think you're pretty spot on, sir. What can I say? Speaking of Master Anado, here comes this one. And he mentioned who it was, but I forgot. Here we go.
The Spec Ops dropped. The Spec Ops dropped, yeah. The Spec Ops dropped. Woo! All right, so hello everyone and welcome to the Anado's MAA Arsenal, exclusively on the From the Helicarrier podcast. In this segment, I will try my best to come up with out-of-the-box hero and team builds, synergies, and uncover certain aspects of the game most tend to ignore. But that last part might not be true, considering I'm sure everyone knows we finally have new content in the game. And oh boy, I am blushing just thinking about it. I mean, never mind the fact that we finally have new content, it's about what we can do with all this stuff, and there are a ton of options. First off, I don't think it's hard to ignore that the Psychic Force set from this Spec Op is incredible. I really love how this set gives some great benefits, but also applies some very nasty debuffs to the enemies. And the addition of extra functions when the whole set is equipped together is sick. Seriously, I think I might have to run all of them together for the next few PvP seasons. They are that good. But before I get way out of hand, the real prize of this Spec Op is Mantis. Or is it Manus? I've been watching Kingfisher videos, and he seems to pronounce it as Manus. I like that. Now, you're all probably going to go against me when I say I don't think we have ever had a hero as powerful as Mantis. I kid you not. Spitfire is nuts. But I really do think Mantis is amongst being one of the most powerful heroes in the game. She's almost like a hybrid of Emma Frost and pre-heroic age Iron Fist. And if that's not saying something, I don't know what else would. I am super impressed with what Mantis can do. Heal, buff up your allies, give off extra turns with increased stats, shield your ally and apply some disgusting psychic effects to the enemies. Already, I can see the list of potential team-ups with her, and the list goes on and on. Sure, I figured everyone would say Emma and her are the best, but not really, because the list is that huge. We're not just talking psychic heroes. We're talking Finest Hour, Exploit Opportunity, Counter, and Follow-Up teams. That means Blue Marvel, Cable, Rocky Raccoon, maybe Moondragon when she's released, Emma Frost, Star-Lord, who? Nailed it. And believe it or not, my favorite Spec Ops hero to this day, incoming! Cannonball. Yep, him and her. It's nuts. It's Bug Ballistics. Already, bug Cannonball ballistics. Is super crazy when using his level 2, and with Mantis being able to apply rising up buffs before an ally attacks, this is sure to help boost up his Finest Hour damage. Also, she can give him that extra turn with increased stats, and he just one-shots people like it's nobody's business. But that's not all. Since Mantis is able to preemptively counter enemies when they are affected with opportunist debuffs, this is why Cannonball is the best to bring in, since his level 6 is able to apply Winded, Off-Balance, and Exhausted to the entire enemy team. And for extra, you can equip the Collapsing AISO on it, so it also applies Hobbled and Fumbling. Plus, Mantis is able to apply Rattle to the enemies, making them take extra damage from follow-up and counter-attacks. Okay, I'll shut up now. With all that being said, I think you can understand why Mantis is a hero I believe everyone should get. Now, I'm not done with our new Bug Buddy yet, as there is something really cool I want to share on next week's segment, so make sure you tune in for that. As for myself, you can find me on the Facebook page at Anado Deer and sometimes on the FTH Facebook page, where you'll also find my team build for the Bug Ballistics. As always, I want to thank you all for listening, and until next time, stay safe and happy hunting.
Every time he says that, it reminds me of the Nelson twins who had the Saturday morning live action show, Ballistic.
After my time.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish it was after my time. It was in the 90s sometimes. It was horrible. So, but yeah, that's... He had so much fun doing that segment. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, totally. Good job. Yeah, all of our segment producers doing killing it today.
Yeah.
So thank you, Poker Prof King and Anado. All right, let's get to From the Field. This is where you get to send us emails. We get the pleasure of reading them out loud and mispronouncing things, starting with Agent Kostadin. I'm sure that's mispronounced. Hello from the Helicarrier. Agent, insert foreign name here, writes in, what are your thoughts on a set default hero system? Like, after you have a team-up fight, instead of having a random hero selected, you can set it yourself. For example, if you want to train a hero, a low-level one, and farm at the same time, and then after you beat the boss or heroic, where they force you to have a certain character, you're guaranteed to get the hero you set as default. P.S. Pointing out grammar mistakes will be helpful. Dude, don't worry. Your grammar's fine. Totally get your meeting. And yeah, I mean, I think a default set for many reasons I think would be good. Not just after a set where you're required to play a certain character, but maybe there's a fight where it's beneficial to use a certain character. So you go in your PvP, your PvE, you do that battle, and then you want to go back to your quote unquote home team.
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome. I think it'd totally be awesome to have a default team or a couple where you can actually give them names like Bug Ballistics or whatever, right? Like have preset teams in a second window on your team screen where you can just say, all right, pull up Team Spider Farts. And then all of a sudden your Team Spider Farts pulls up automatically and starts battling.
You know, if
Superior Spider-Man obviously is part of that team,
right. But who's the villain that has the explosive mist?
Is it Vapor?
Is that her name?
It was Vapor.
Yeah, once she becomes a lockbox hero, then you team her up with Spider-Man and his team Spider Farts, because all her attacks are this vapor that goes out.
Right.
You can totally pull that off. That's funny. And Agent Kostadin is in the chat right now. He's like, that's me. But yeah, he wrote that. It made me laugh. I wanted to say that it made me laugh out loud when I read his emails. I'm pasting it in. It's like, insert foreign name here.
Right.
That's
right.
Awesome.
Love it.
All right. Agent Love Monkey says, hello, agents. Agent Love Monkey writing in. It's been a long time, but I have a character I want to talk about that, in my opinion, is one of the best characters in the game and one that I use for just about everything I do. I speak of none other than Mr. Fantastic. I'm going to give you three simple reasons why he's good in no particular order. Number one, the Bifurcator, level 9, with his overclocked EISO. His EISO lets him hit all enemies, causing huge damage while restoring your team stamina. It also opens open to put down grade on or despair via AISOs. I didn't even think about that. From the wiki, here's the damage breakdown. Enemy type and percentage. A boss is 28% damage. Epic boss is 20%. Group boss is 5%. Hero is 35%. Everything else is 65%.
It didn't used to be on group bosses. It didn't used to be 5%. No. You used to be able to use the Bifurcator on a group boss and take him down 60%. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
I'll let you finish, but I used to use Mr. Fantastic and Hank Pym.
Yes.
Together all the time. Great. They were a great PvP team for me for quite a while.
I have used his Bifurcator with his overclocked against group bosses, because it would definitely just, especially if you get a full group boss, I mean, you chunk them down to 70%, 60%, 50%. It was a beautiful thing. All right, Canny EISO, one of the best new EISOs from the heroics, gives him shared research, which is the same as smartest man in the room, and the singularity matrix. It triggers on the first three actions, any of his attacks, and his level 15 tactical maneuvers. I haven't tried recharge, so I'm not sure if that it does that either. That'd be also if you rest. Oh, bring shared research.
That's it. Yeah, that's who's talking about recharge.
Yeah. What? I'm just picturing, because nobody sees you play, but in my mind, I'm like fighting against somebody else. I'm like, watch, I'm going to kill your team and not take an action. Rest. Bling. Rest. Bling. Yeah. All right. what this means is that by round 2 at the latest, and many times in round 1, you have a guaranteed hit and crit, ignore defense, and ignores most avoidance effects. And he applies it to his entire team, and it remains even if he is knocked out. So those heroes with low hit or crit chances should always hit. Can you say Moon Knight's level 1 with 10 retribution stacks, and all 10 stacks hit your targets and crit? Absolutely brutal. Oh, that's just that's game porn.
Great
right
combo
there.
Right there. Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. Number three, his level 6 tumble, which I actually early on figured that out. He basically uses bifurcator and his tumble. Those are the only two actions on him I use.
Yeah. Yeah.
This move.
The tumble does amazing damage. Yeah.
Yeah. This move has one of the highest crit multipliers in the game and is an AoE. Coupled with his new EISO, you are getting guaranteed crits for big damage just about every attack of his. I used Mr. Fantastic last PvP for a solid diamond finish with both Moon Knight and Blue Marvel. If I'd played more, maybe I could have gotten higher. I'd love to see PokeProf or Anadote do a segment on them as well. The challenge has been issued. Anyways, I'm out. Don't overlook Mr. Fantastic. I truly think he is one of the best in the game. Agent Love Monkey. I would say I think he's definitely underrated. I mean, I think it's very easy to overlook him, but he's definitely a strong one. What made you stop using him?
Teams that there was a certain kind of attack that I was coming up against that they weren't very good at, good against. I can't remember what it was, but it was also around the time that I started using Null and Avalanche and switched to using them almost exclusively.
Yeah, I've been farming for his ISO that gives a shared
research. Yeah.
Basically, anytime I'm not playing any new content, I'm in that mission farming for that one. Mm-hmm. You know what heroic we need to see? Just I don't know why it popped in my mind. Maybe because it's Fantastic Four. But I want to see Doom versus Kang. I don't care which side of the fight I'm on. I just want to see Doom versus Kang. That'd be
right. Yeah, no kidding.
So
just the battle of the winners, right? Like the battle of the never team ups. Yeah, that's great. Agent Minol wrote in, "Hey FTH crew, Agent Minol reporting in. I always enjoy listening to the show and the advice that everyone provides. Hopefully, we can help McFall get into adamantium this PvP season." I don't know if anybody can help that.
I don't know either.
I had two questions about the game, and I was wondering your thoughts on them. Number one, in terms of heroes that can be added to the game, are there any well-known characters that can still be added to the game? By well-known, I mean characters that have name recognition that don't involve Googling. Going with the no X-Men and Fantastic Four theme, there's not too many characters left that I can think of. The only three that I can come up with are as follows. Richard Rider, before he was announced, whose exclusion for so long was kind of odd. Adam Warlock and Speedball. What other big name heroes could be added to the game that would have name recognition? We'll answer that before we go on to the next part. But I'd still like to see Machine Man, a great Avenger from for a long time, and U.S. Agent. They haven't done yet.
Okay.
Adam Warlock reminded me that we haven't seen a Captain Marvel in the game yet. The Captain Marvel.
Marvel. Sorry. Took me a second.
Not the Ms. Marvel, right. Marvel, but the Kree guy.
Yeah. You're right. It's Captain Marvel. It's just Marvel instead of Marvel.
It's
one of those comic book things.
I know.
Let's be lazy.
But it'd be cool to see any of them. How about you?
I'm racking my brain right now of who might be missing. I know Adam Warlock was definitely on the list. Like, he is a huge part of the Guardians of the Galaxy story, and yet we're not seeing him in the stories, in the game.
I could actually see him part of the Infinity Gauntlet. Right? And maybe we get him introduced then. Who knows?
God, if they bring him into the movies too, that would be so epic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Impossible. Amazing. See, Impossible Man was introduced in an early Fantastic Four issue. So, no, Impossible Man. Although, again, I'd love to see him.
Yeah. Super Skrull.
Alpha Flight was introduced. Yeah. Super Skrull's another Fantastic Four. Yeah. Alpha Flight was introduced in X-Men.
And now we're not going to get these teams that came through Mutants or Fantastic Four. I'm just blanking. I know there's got to be characters that I love that aren't in the Grey Hulk. I mean, that I don't think that should be an alt. I think it should be his own character.
Grey Hulk. But it's still Bruce Banner.
Fair enough. I would take it. Either way, I'd take it.
Yeah.
They don't really do separate similar characters in MAA1. So here's the money. Here's the money bet, the over-under. What is the over-under on getting a Grey Hulk alt in MAA1 versus getting a Grey Hulk character in MAA2? Which one goes first? And right now, I'd have to say my money is on MAA2.
Oh, really? My money would be on MAA1 just because we've gotten so many Hulks between Civil War and Age of Ultron and Marvel Now that I don't see. I don't know. I'm hoping that if they're going to add other characters to MAA2, and we'll talk about this more on the Deuce, but if they do add more characters to MAA2, I'd like them to be characters. If they're going to add more alts, let's not do another Captain America alt. Let's not do another Iron Man alt, you know?
Yeah.
Give us
Wasp. I love Wasp as she is, but I'd love to see what they would do differently with her.
Sure, sure. They might wait for a movie on that one.
Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah. All right. Part two of his email. Dual classes in this game have been around for some time, but there's still a few pairings that we don't have. Two examples I can think of that should have come in are Tactician Scrapper and Bruiser Infiltrator. I don't believe these classes would be more substantially powerful than the other class combinations that are already in the game. Why do you think we haven't gotten this pairing of classes? And is there a combination of classes that you would like to see in the game? If so, what is it?
I want Galaxy class with God class. That's what I like to see in this game.
I can't think of. I mean, if those are the two we haven't had yet, well, there you go. I think I don't think about the classes as much as I used to for whatever reason. I think about the teams, right? Like, if I'm going against a blaster boss, I'm not thinking, all right, well, let me only bring in tacticians. But as I'm thinking more about the synergies, I think when we had fewer characters in the game and less choice to make for who we took into a battle, I think the class differentiations made a lot more sense. But it's not eliminated by any stretch of the imagination. No. But,
Galaxy class like Enterprise D.
Like that.
Cosmic is probably the word I was actually looking for, but I'll take, whatever. Yeah. Everybody's saying in the chat room that Tactician Blaster has not made it. I don't know. Anytime I see the dual class thing going on, I can't help but think, what did they take away to balance that? Because you have the blaster bruiser of Better A Bill, and the class doesn't seem to help him. It does. I mean, it helps when you do the level 15 choice, right? So I can choose to either buff him as a bruiser and enrage him and make his stats go up, or I can choose to make him the blaster and critically hit, depending on who I'm going against and will I get that class anyway. But it's not. The combo classes are not game changers. I mean, what's your experience been, Ibbot?
Yeah, no, they haven't been for me. I mean, I like using the Warriors 3, but it's mostly because of the synergy that the three of them have,
right,
as opposed to it being, now I've got two classes that could potentially go against your, the boss class. But, it isn't. Those I don't pay attention to as much as maybe other people do, and I probably should, is those dual classes. So,
someone's like, no bruiser infiltrator. Well, that just didn't even go together. I mean, I know they're supposed to be counterclass,
you're big, heavy,
or whatever.
Bulky, sneaky guy.
I'm the.
It doesn't seem like it does go together. Yeah,
the biggest ninja you've never met.
Right. Exactly.
Could you see the thing getting hit backs on tacticians?
Oh, God, yeah. Right, counterattacks?
That's it, yeah. Counterattacks on tacticians. And,
God, no.
Yeah.
No, I cannot. I cannot see that.
All right, let's see what the next one is. Should be Agent Averill here. Greetings, agents of Golden Age and Epic Bossness. Agent Averill here, and gosh, it's hot. I've been away for a while, contemplating the increase of agents leaving the game and whether or not they cause their own departure. I may share how I feel about that in the Agents Only Lounge, as I think it'd be too long for a field report, and I could probably get more insight on the points I would try to make. I'd be interested in reading that, and if it hits spot on enough, we bullet down to the high points and discuss it on the show. Because, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some frustrations, but I have never once considered leaving MAA1. I mean, I get bored and I miss it when there's no content, and I realize that's how much I like it going, yeah, you know, I'm farming some, but I really just, I don't know, there's something about newness of it is really great. MAA2, you'll have to hear about that on the Deuce. Anyway, I'd be curious to see your thoughts on that, Avril, and I get where you're going with if it's not a cause of their own departure. Anyway, Spec Op 35 is off and running. I imagine some agents have already recruited Mantis and have her at least level 4 as of this report. I'm not one of them, but I'm getting there. I still have 3 weeks. From what I can tell you, it wouldn't surprise me if a covert task were to arrive in the future to make a Black Vortex imitation a la Synthetic Cube that could bestow on the team cosmic class benefits.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, see, what, no kidding.
Then, now just give me your guide class and we're good. We're good to go. maybe, and I don't mean Thor. Thor's a guy. I'm talking about like Watcher, a Watu level guide class stuff.
Sure, you don't ask for much.
No. Well, I was going to go with a character that is totally not Marvel, and I realize he's not Marvel, so let me not touch that one. Sentry. Sentry would be considered God class, right? I mean, yes. The power of 10,000 suns.
Yes.
And there's the answer to the other email. Galactus. That's the character with name recognition that nobody's brought into the game yet.
Yeah, Sentry, for sure.
Yeah. Maybe they would call the effect cosmic competence, like what the Asgardian Tankard used to do before it was corrected. Then again, would that make the PvP tourney EISOs pointless on any character that isn't a dual class? Not to mention a whole team of scutum bags, legitimately. Yikes. Lastly, I've got some things brewing in my lab, so hopefully they'll be ready to share the next time. One of which is a character I vaguely hinted at months ago. Remember? He's going to be your number one. Maybe. I guess it's not a great clue. I should go back to singing telegrams. Until next time, #FixSandman, Asia Avril. I have not heard about a problem with Sandman, and I haven't played with him in a while. What's going on with old Sandy?
I don't know. That's funny. I read that, too, and was wondering what he meant by that.
Yeah. So maybe we're a little behind on the broadcast, so the Twitchers will let us feed something, and I'm sure. So I'm looking forward to anything you have, Avril. That'd be pretty awesome.
Sure. Next email comes from Chief FTH. He says, first of all, I want to get this out of the way. The amount of hate being spewed on the forums after the Spec Ops launched was ridiculous. It was hardly an hour old and players were complaining about using just Guardians of the Galaxy characters in the first mission. Had they been a little patient, they would have realized it was just for mission one. So instead of being thankful for an end to the new content drought, they chose to bitch and moan because they were forced to use certain characters. Oops, I accidentally scrolled. There we go. For one mission for a game you don't have to pay for. Some people will never be happy. Speaking of the Spec Ops, I really enjoyed it. And yes, that's past tense because I've recruited Mantis as of yesterday morning. Nice. I've only trained to level 5, but I'm having fun figuring her out. And even though I've completed the Spec Ops, I'm still farming away for ISOs, weapon drops, and crystals to craft the set weapons. That set looks amazing, too, with not only a when using another weapon from the set bonus, but a bigger bonus for equipping the entire set. That's something they should do more of in the future. Eagerly anticipating Richard Rider's release. I love the new Warriors comic in my teenage years, and Nova was one of my favorites. Super excited about him joining the team. Here's to hoping PvP drops this week. Agent Chief, FTH. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I consider the current Nova that we have to be Kid Nova and Richard Rider the OG Nova.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. Just because, you know, Richard Rider has been Nova since like the 70s.
Yeah. And I can't remember. It's been so long since I covered it. The War of Kings. Mm. I think that was Richard Rider in that one. I mean, I know he's in it, but I can't remember. There was a handoff of Nova powers, but it wasn't this kid, it was somebody else.
I don't know, it's been a while since I've read War of Kings.
So okay, I don't mean to mock you here, Agent Deathmask, and I think you're actually telling a joke on purpose here, but it's like, hey, question, whatever happened to those Hulkbuster suits? The flight agent flight suits,
right? The flight suit. It's a really good question. I would like to know that too. I think we'd all like to know what happened to the flight suits.
It's one of those deals that just never happened. That's it. Just never happened.
Yeah, they just, you know, they probably backburned it. Maybe someday they'll actually address it. But yeah, I'm with you. Fix it. Do it. Make it happen.
What I'm saying is you ask anybody at Playdom, they'll be like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, Big Purple, you're talking about Barney? We never put Barney in the game. I don't understand what you're talking
about,
Big Purple.
And what's funny, it was actually a year ago this week.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That PvP ended and that suit was the reward.
Wow. You know, there's a website by Ramos out there that you can really keep track of that stuff. I think it's called MAA Timelines.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he posts stuff up in the lounge. He posts stuff up on the web. And it's like, today in MAA history. And it'll, like, oh, yeah, I remember that weapon. Mm-hmm. And he'll even go so far as to go, hey, a year ago, they put out, or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it is, they put out this weapon. And let's see what it does today. Nope. We died. Don't play with that in PvP. but he'll have the video. It's really cool. So yeah, Google nice. MAA timelines, and you'll find that out.
Cool.
So here comes our newest regular emailer, Agent CK7 says, "Hello, agents. Agent CK7 here, and I guess it's time to enter the Black Vortex. No, not MAA 2 PvP. The Spec Ops." Okay, has anyone noticed that the Spec Ops deploys no longer have those 1 or 5 UISO slots? I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I'm guessing it means in the roulettes.
They removed those. Yeah, whenever I get 1 UISO, I'm like, really?
Yeah,
That's worse than a year 1 level 1 crystal.
Mm-hmm. But I've gotten 10s out of those, and it's been great.
Yeah. I haven't noticed they were gone. I have noticed that I get 10s or 20s, which kind of covers the cost of the battle you just did. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cloak and Dagger are forces of nature. Chapters, spec op bosses, epic bosses, mere cannon fodder for them. The Black Vortex pales in comparison to the triple one-shot shot in the dark or pitch black.
Jeez, yeah.
Holy crap, I guess I got to spend my gold and get them. Did a 40k AOE big bang with Mantis Moonstone. It's always amusing to see enemies with cosmic infiltrator. Sorry, my brain just cosmic infiltrator bonus. Try to pre-counter a phased Moonstone. How would Moonstone and Cloak and Dagger work as a team? Carla has that EISO to cause delirium debuffs on her enemies, right? Cerebral Agony might go really well with the QYIT pistol.
I'm just going with the quit pistol.
And anything.
Key it.
Yeah. And anything does Reckless Rage. I force you to attack me, procking mental anguish and increasing cerebral agony stacks times 2 because the guaranteed follow-up attack. So the quit pistol, I think I know what he's talking about. I don't remember the name of it. There's a pistol that gives reckless rage to your enemy, which forces them to do a physical attack.
Mm-hmm.
So you've put cerebral agony on them with the...
Quiet, Q-Y-I-T. Okay, the quiet gun.
Quiet. Okay.
Yeah. I do remember this thing. I'm pulling it up now.
I'll go ahead and tell them. So what it does is you put mental or cerebral agony on them, and then you hit them with the Reckless Rage, and you force them to attack, procking mental anguish and increasing cerebral agony stacks times 2 because it's a guaranteed follow-up attack. Is that useless Daredevil ISO not so useless now? Blind Rage would work for forcing enemies to attack you, but no follow-up. The Quiet Pistol does Blind Rage and Reckless Rage, so best of both worlds. X-23 can give the entire team Blind Rage if she's triggered with the scent of her horseman alt. So did you find the gun?
I did, yeah. So it's a multifunction. So this was a limited edition item you could buy around Christmas time last year. It was a gold sale gun, and it was a multi-action five action gun. First one, they're all single enemy stealthy attacks, right?
Right.
But Trank Shot applies groggy and incapacitation. Octo Shot, uncontrollable laughter and trauma. The Raging Shot, Blind Rage, Reckless Rage, and Internal Bleeding. Howling Shot applied Cower and Salty Tears. And the Screaming Shot applied Mind Control and Possess. So that's what they're talking about.
Gotcha.
I do remember that.
And see, who's Agent Arena says, and is quit. Q-Y-I-T is quit your incessant talking.
Quiet, yeah, right.
There's, Oh, you millennials and your
I'm sure I did the gold sale. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did the gold sale, but no, that's what it was called in game. Like when you bought it, it was the Q-Y-I-T.
No, I know. Okay. I'm just saying.
So it's the millennials that work at Playdom.
Yep. Came up with that. That's, yeah. I sure do have it because you do get every gold sale. So yeah. there you go. There's that. Let's go back to the email. I'll
have to pick up and try it.
So he goes, Sunset Overdrive reminds you of Flat Out? I forgot about Flat Out. Flat Out was a cannon game that you flung people from a, you know, fired them from a cannon and see how they crashed into things, and you could drive them and test dummy cars and that. I don't know, man. I don't know. Guess Moondragon ran off with Songbird and Nova to form their own alliance, right? She's coming as a covert task. Collecting shards gives me flashbacks of that nonsense serum with Morbius. Please, no. That stupid thing ate so much of my gold, and I still never got him because of the simulator being luck-based. Do you think that Nova... That sucks, man. Because Morbius is actually a pretty decent character. Do you think Nova will count as a guardian for Mission 1? He's an honorary one, after all. That's a good question, because I know Agent Venom is... He counts as a guardian. Because I'm looking for my... Just five, right? I'm looking for Rocket, Drax, Gamora, Groot, or Star-Lord, and I'll see... Agent Venom sitting there like, huh.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple other ones, too, that I noticed that I'm not in that mission anymore, but that I was kind of surprised to see in there. But
so, yeah, I imagine Nova probably will tie in. I'm running a bit low on CP, lower than I'd like to be at least. Should I finish the Spec Ops now or CP farm for a while and build up that? I always am a fan of CP farming.
And Ms.
honestly,
Marvel,
you can still farm
Angela,
after you get Mantis, so... Yeah. I mean, just understand if you have a Mantis level 1 and you're not going to level her up when you do the boss fight after farming, then take in somebody who can, the two of you can finish the battle because she will
die. Yes.
Question of the week. Has Spitfire and Cloak and Dagger dethroned the Worthy? Seen a bit of talk about that in places. And then I'll read this last sentence while I answer that. Deathlock set works well in the Spec Ops. No more. Oh, okay. The Deathlock set works well in the Spec Ops. No more bleeding times three to the agent, and don't dismiss the poke, P-O-K-E, that is the Deathlock fist, as punch of kill everything when set up. And he's got over here is tfwiki.net/wiki/punch_of_kill_everything.
Yeah, this is from a Transformers card game card, I think.
Okay.
Just based on what I'm looking at. I'm sorry. No, not a card. It's from the Transformers. So it's the punch of kill everything. Lugnut's trump card.
Okay. So they're saying the Deathlock fist is the poke here, the punch of kill everything. The set works well together, period. It's not quite the synergy that I look for when I play, but it says I haven't hit bleeding so far. I guess I'm not that far into the story. I have not had my agent get bled out. So
yeah, certainly haven't worried about that yet. But
all right, you know, there's that.
Good to know. Cool.
Lots of great information, everybody. We know about the collections, Ibit. You know what? He asked a question that we did not answer. Question of the week. Has Spitfire and Cloak and Dagger dethroned the Worthy? Have you put those two together yet?
I have not. I haven't seen teams with both of them. I figure, Cloak and Dagger, it seemed like people were running them with Kurth or Null, and Spitfire with like Star-Lord or Blade, but I didn't think that the synergy with Spitfire and Cloak and Dagger was enough to not use them in one of those two situations, right? Like Blade or Star-Lord were better combos for Spitfire. I don't know.
Maybe he's just mentioning as a character that you're going to see Spitfire more than Null or Kurth or maybe. C in yeah. that. Yeah, that actually.
For sure. Oh, yeah, we're seeing them all totally the time. Could be.
Antidote Deer says, you know what? Let everyone know that I'm going to do the anti-Spitfire build next week.
Great. Love. I'd love to see that. Can't wait.
So how do you do an anti-Spitfire? You take every character you have and put no bleeding on them. I don't know.
Right, and put them between the agent and Spitfire. Perfect. That's how you do it.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah. It's like, and pray that they don't get hit.
Right.
I mean, she can definitely be killed. I've had her killed in the past.
Yeah, right.
But she is a Spitfire, mm-hmm. without a doubt. I mean, it's a good thing. All right, so you have any tips, anything? How are you handling the Spec Ops? What's your one go-to move for this Spec Ops?
Combo of Rocket and Star-Lord or Shadowcat and Psylocke. Those are my two go-to teams for this Spec Ops, and they've been great. Like, sometimes with Psylocke and Shadowcat, I don't even need to quote unquote take a turn. Like it will autoplay if the other team goes first. And I've wiped out entire teams with that without lifting a finger.
Wow.
So those are my two go-to teams right now. A lot of people are saying, having other recommendations, Rocket Gamora, Star-Lord and Drax. Good combos, all of them. I guess it just goes to show you go with the teams you know, and yes. You can run well and take advantage of that.
And
oh, look at me, I'm bleeding like crazy. My current team is bleeding like a stuck pig.
Yeah, my go-to is always have a protector. Always have some OP hero with the people that you have to team up with when you have to team up with Mantis. Right. I personally don't worry about the score bonus at the end. I'm like, let's make sure this fight survives. All the people in this fight survive. So I'll take in Spitfire I guess with Mantis, I had to take in Star-Lord because I have to have a Guardian. But now, I had to team up with Kitty Pryde against Sebastian Shaw, and I took Spitfire in. And Spitfire took out probably 80% of the people in that entire battle. And I did just spin up Group Therapist Augmented ISO 8.
Nice.
That is cool. So
yeah, that's the Mantis AI. So
and it gets her healing now removes debuffs once I actually get her. And then my tip would be farm. Forget your number of UISO. You got 3 weeks. More will come. You're gonna there's a good chance you'll spin up 100, 1,000, 500, whatever the middle ground is there too. Right. Keep collecting from your friends. You'll get a ton. And just keep farming. I've made myself do that because my old school brain says, oh, I'm not going to play anymore in the missions until I have a task. Because old school tasks were, hey, you've got to do this. And if you're halfway through this mission, you have to abandon everything else and go back to point one to do this one task.
Right. But
in reality, is we get so much time and these missions flow so well now, that more than likely the next task will be something that you can easily do, or you'll finish the mission and just go right back through again and farm, because there's so many good weapons and so much good ISO. And just stay on that level one deploy with Gamora.
Yeah. Just do it over and over and over. Yep.
Because
holy cow, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just got to the Black Vortex battle in mission 3.
Oh yeah?
Okay, this is one of the coolest quote unquote character designs I've ever seen them come up with. I'm not going to tell you. I won't spoil it for you other than say you are going to, your mind will be blown.
Ah, awesome. I like hearing that kind of thing. And I'm actually looking to see how many, because it's a very good drop rate right now on the crystals, the shards. Yeah. And
totally is.
Let's see. I have got, nope, that's not right. It's not the space time shard. I forget what it is. I was going to see how many I have just without farming, because I'm pretty sure I have a decent amount. What is this thing called? Is it a metaphysical shard? Is that what is it called?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me here.
Oh, McFalled it up again, didn't I?
You totally McFalled that one.
What can you say? It is a metaphysical crystal. Oh, I only own 7. Huh. And I haven't farmed at all, but that's actually lower than I thought. Well, actually, one more, and I could research the gun. you know?
Cool.
So I'm farm, yep, farm, farm, yes. farm, farm. That's what I tell everybody.
Exactly. Take advantage of that ability or that, take advantage of that thing you can do.
Yeah, go the instant deploy on mission one.
Exactly.
For sure. So here comes Master Mikey.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, and with the boss and the Black Vortex have fled.